Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 4 p.m. to 6, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our lesson today in basic theology. So if you would like to join us and hear or participate in our lesson, you are free to call 319-527-6204. Amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I'd like to say a prayer and then welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Amen.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory. Be overcome.
to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our lesson today in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, our call-in number is 319-527-6204. And if you have a prayer request, you can call in your prayer request also. Amen. So at this time, I will play another selection. God is sustaining me by the Wiki Tones.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all, let's assemble. We gonna have a church. When I look back on my life, and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning, and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God is sustaining me.
Don't you know, God?
Deserve
covered me in his blood. His love, only his love, restores my soul, restores my soul forever. When I'm in trouble, when I'm sick,
Jesus,
you see, he touched my body,
sustaining me,
and I can feel a mile of me. Yes.
And no matter,
no matter what the touch, his blood. Somebody gotta cry out, Jesus,
sustaining me.
Sometimes you gotta call him,
Jesus.
You gotta call on him,
sustaining me.
My, 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 my Lord.
Hi, my name is Evangelist Hilda, and you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681. And call in your prayer request, for my God is truly able.
the Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song for the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm preaching, do not disturb. Every Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song for the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. This advice is wholesome and good. With half a brain, it should be easily understood. It's worth more than silver and gold. Listen close as wisdom unfolds. Fools think they need no advice, but wise men will listen twice. A fool is quick-tempered and cruel, but the wise maintain and stay cool. Truth stands the test of time, while lies get exposed like crime. I'm in the studio promising I'll be a key in changing lifestyle. Every Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm preaching, do not disturb. Every Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. Spoil the child if you spare the rod. Teach your kids to obey God. Discipline kids at an early age, and it'll follow them right to the grave. Be humble and accept correction. Travel the path in the right direction. To work hard being poor means more than obtaining wealth by breaking a law. Wise men avoid a fight, but fools will argue all day and night. Fools don't even think about the facts, cause all they wanna do is attack. Prepare before making moves. If not, then you're bound to lose. It pays to keep a big mouth shut. Some have lost their lives for talking too much. I give what I can to the helpless, plus hope and pray that they all get justice. Work brings profit, talk brings poverty. When I'm on the job, don't bother me. It shouldn't hurt to be criticized. If it's constructive, you'll become wise. Your hang-up is life's unfair. Have you ever heard of faith and prayer? You can't always have a good day, or everything going your way. A story sounds good when it's just one side. Listen to them both before you decide. Wounds from a friend of me, are better than kisses from an enemy, enemy. The wicked finally lose, the right finally wins. Trust in the Lord, respect and fear him. Courage secures when you're facing death. Without courage, there's no hope left. When you're generous, they often ask of you. When you're broke, folks are quick to pass you. Be aware of flattery and charm, cause all they mean to do is harm. An enemy who wants to provide for you is only trying to game and bribe you. Before world peace is felt, we have to find peace with self. The solution isn't even a hard one. Peace only comes from God's Son. Counsel and common sense can all be obtained at a small expense, just by keeping hearts and minds wide open, and taking the proverb that was spoken. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God, cause every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God.
God, my exceeding joy, show me your wonders. Delight me with that which delights you. When I witness the things that make your heart glad, mine becomes glad as well. Give me the pleasures of knowing you intimately, because in you I will find my joy and my delight. Help me also to bring joy to other people I come in contact with. Give me a sweet spirit radiating your love and pleasure to those around me. Help me to say kind and encouraging words, and to always think on things that are pure. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. We pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. the effective permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'd like to apologize for the way I am speaking so slowly. It's, I had a tooth pulled, and it's hard to talk with the gauze in your mouth. So please forgive me for my slow speaking. Amen. At this time, I like to play another selection, and after this selection, I will come with our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. Praise God.
Oh,
Amen. Okay. So now it is time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening, which is entitled Not Forgotten. Amen. And the scripture is coming from Isaiah chapter 49, and we're going to read verses 14 through 18, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. Again, that's Isaiah chapter 49, verses 14 through 18. And it says, "Yet Jerusalem says, 'The Lord has deserted us, the Lord us.' Never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she feel no love for the child she has borne? But even if you were possible, I would not forget you. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hands. Always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's walls in ruin. Soon your descendants will come back, and all who are trying to destroy you will go away. Look around you and see, for all your children will come back to you. As surely as I live, says the Lord, they will be like jewels or bridal ornaments for you to display." Praise be to God. Is the people of Israel. Amen. The text for this message is coming from Isaiah 49 and 15, and it says, "I will not forget you." The writer says, "Uncle Arthur, do you remember the day you took me to the barbershop and the supermarket? I was wearing tan khakis, a blue plaided Oxford shirt, a navy blue cardigan, brown socks, and brown Rockport shoes. The date was Thursday, October 20th, 2016. My nephew Jared Austin related challenges are offset by his phenomenal memory that can recall details like days and dates and the clothes he was wearing years after an event took place. Because of the way he's wired, Jared possesses the kind of memory that reminds me of the all-knowing, loving God, the keeper of the time and eternity. He knows the facts and won't forget his promises or his people. Have you had moments when you're questioned whether or not you have been forgotten by God? When others appear to be healthier or happier or more successful or otherwise better off? Less than ideal situation caused her to say, 'The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me,' in Isaiah 49 and 14. But that wasn't the case. God's compassion and care exceeded the natural bond of affection that mothers have for their children in verse 15. Before embracing labels like forsaken or forgotten, think again of what God has done in and through his son, Jesus. In the gospel that brings forgiveness, God has clearly said, I will not forget you. Amen. Praise be to God. Question. When have you felt alone, forsaken, and forgotten by God? How does possessing the love of God expressed by sending Jesus to die for your sins help to counter feelings of being forgotten by him? Think about those two questions. Amen. Let us pray. Father, when we are tempted to feel neglected, forgotten, and abandoned, please help us to ponder again the love you demonstrated by sending Jesus to die for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. So at this time, play another selection. Amen. Okay, looking for the selection. Where is it? Our God is awesome. Oh, okay. Just play this one and then.
Heavens and earth.
God of my righteousness. You are my righteous God. From you flow mercy, grace, might, and strength. In you exists all I need to live in abundant joy. Your righteousness brings about the beauty we see in one another, the acts of kindness, the moments of intimacy, and pure love. None of these are possible apart from you, because the goodness and righteousness stems from the core of who you are. I would not know love if it were not for you. Praise you and honor you for who you truly are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, you can dial 319-527-6204. We would be glad to have you to join us. Amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play another selection, and I hope you enjoy this selection. Praise God.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say. Come on, if you know he's awesome, say. Lift your voice. Forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice.
Some will ever leave.
Let
Righteousness. I confess my unrighteousness to you and acknowledge the guilt of my sin. Where I have wronged others, forgive me. Where I have failed to promise you as King, Lord, and Savior, have mercy on me. Where I have chosen my own desires over yours, grant compassion and guidance to show me the better way. Forgive the pain I have caused others and help them to forgive me as well. Help me to mend my broken relationships. Make me a vessel of your righteousness, grace, and peace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And amen. And okay, we have 14 seconds left to our prayer line. And at this time, I am going to thank you for showing up and listening to our sweet hour of prayer. I hope you enjoyed the music and the prayers. Amen. So at this time, So at this time, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you. How you doing?
I'm in a little pain, but I'm striving on.
Praise God. Praise God.
Yeah, I went to the dentist, that's why, and it's hard for me to talk. So I had two teeth pulled out today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, they had to come out, so I had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
feel
anyway,
better.
Thank you. Long as I don't talk too much, because you know when you talk a lot, the gauze that's in there irritates the stitches. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I know. It makes my flesh crawl too.
Anyway, are we the only ones on the line?
So far.
Okay.
She may
come. I'm going to.
Probably late.
I apologize for yesterday. I got involved with some shopping, and I didn't get back until after really mind something.
Oh.
But it was a last-minute thing.
Yes.
And I didn't get to call you, and I looked at my watch. It was about 8:05, and I'm like, oh, gosh, it doesn't even make sense. So you had a class?
Yeah, yeah, we did.
Okay.
It was just First Lady and me.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Yeah, Jake didn't come. I don't know.
Well, he hasn't been with us for a while, so.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to get started. I'm going to open in prayer. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I'm weak. I'm tired. I'm worn. Through the storm and through the night, take my hand. Let me see the light. I know you're able, God. Father God, it's once more and again a few of your humble servants come to just say thank you. Lord God, thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a new day, new mercies every day, Father God, and your compassion. We thank you for that. Lord, just bless us and keep us. I pray that you'll bless everyone that's on the line. Ease the pain with Evangelist Hilda's mouth and just allow her to feel better, Father God. We know it's a process and it will be done. So thank you in advance for what you're going to do, what you've done and what you are doing right now. Lord, bless the bereaved families, Father God. Bless those who are in government. Father God, bless those who are in the hospitals and rehabs and nursing homes and wherever they are, the homeless, Father God. Bless the children, Lord God. I thank you for that. Just bless us and keep us, and we will be blessed and kept. And I just want to say thank you for your grace, your mercy, your faithfulness, your unconditional love, your favor. Just for your very being, Lord God. We just thank you so very much. And most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. So right now, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. In that blessed name, that majestic name, that matchless name of your son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful prayer.
Thank you. Thank you. So, and I love yours also, you spoke about just before I got the opportunity to start.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to pick up where we left off at page 169. We're still talking about the reality of Satan, which is,
the activities
of Satan. Chapter 24. And we're on page 169 talking about in relation to believers. So we've been talking about the relationship that Satan has with unbelievers, and now we're going to talk about the relationship that he has to believers. This is section 5. Amen. And this is entitled Satan the Tempter. Just as Satan tried the Lord, he also tries believers. His aim is to get us to commit evil. Sometimes use Satan in testing us to get us to commit evil. God may sometimes, use Satan in testing us to prove us in resisting his test. Tests can have three beneficial purposes in the life of the believer. Number one, to prove us, coming from 1 Peter 1:6-7. I'm going to ask you to get that and read it when I ask for it. Number two, to teach us, 1 Peter 4:12-13, also Hebrews 5:8. And three, to increase our love for God, James 1:12. But Satan's only purpose is to tempt the believer to commit evil. What do you think about that?
But Satan's only purpose is to tempt the believer to commit. Yeah, because that's how he's trying to get us to come over to his side. And not to believe in everything that Jesus was teaching us during his ministry. So he wants He tempts us with all kinds of beautiful things. He tempts us with, he can't put thoughts in your mind because he can't read your mind. Because he cannot read your mind. But he can
read
you with money, food, clothes, cars, houses, all of those kind of things that he could tempt us with. And it's really up to us if we want to go that route, because Jesus promised us eternal life, but he's only promising us, you know, temporary. So we have the choice.
As we saw with Jesus, he also promised him ruling of the world. So that's not so much a temporary thing. That's, you know, to take... That's a lifetime thing, to rule the world. Amen?
Oh, you mean Satan?
You said Satan only promises temporary things. I said, no, that's not so. When he promised Jesus to be the ruler of the world, all these kingdoms will be yours. That's not a temporary thing.
Yeah, but those things was already belongs to Jesus. They don't.
We're not saying that they didn't. That's why it didn't work.
Okay.
We know that they belong to them already, but my point is that it wasn't, you said it was a temporary thing when Satan offers us things. And I was just trying to show you the contrast in that, no, it's not temporary. If he's offering you the kingdoms of the world, that's not going to be a temporary thing.
But he can't give you the kingdoms of the world.
We know that. Good evening to you. How are you?
Oh, good evening. Good evening. Yeah.
Okay, so Evangelist, would you get 1 Peter 1:6-7? Lady Nadine, would you get 1 Peter 4:12-13? And I'll get Hebrews 5:8, talking about the beneficial purposes of life of the believer. And what Satan is testing us to prove us in resisting his test. Tests can have three beneficial purposes in the life of the believer. To prove us, to teach us, and to increase our love for God. Amen? So first, 1 Peter 1:6-7, Evangelist.
Okay, I'm reading from the New Living. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you have endured many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Amen.
Man, what do you think about what you read?
Absolutely wonderful. We just got to stay strong. Stay strong. Don't give in to sin or give in to temptation. We just got to stay strong and for the Lord.
Okay. And so when it says it's to prove us, beneficial purposes of this life of the believer is to prove us. What does that mean to you?
To prove that we are believers of Jesus Christ.
Okay, and to strengthen us, just like it says, with pure gold, it's put into the fire to prove it, to strengthen it, to let it be genuine. Amen?
Amen?
So that's what it does. Number two, to teach us, 1 Peter 4:12-13.
Can you hear?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. It says, dear friends, and this is a New Living, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you'll be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. It was to 14 to what?
It was 13.
Oh, 12 to 13, sorry.
Mm-hmm. 12 to 13, but that's okay. So what do you think of what you just read?
Well, you know, it answers the question, you know, that, or the idea that, you know, if you're a Christian, you're not going to have any hard times, that you're not going to suffer. Because what he's saying is that, yes, you will. And don't look at it as something strange. You know, it's something that is will happen. Mm-hmm. But it's through our trials and tribulations that, one, God prepares us, you know, for upcoming things, and also throughout tribulations, we develop a closer relationship with God, because we're just like, that's when we, you know, usually when we're happy, we forget to pray, or we forget to talk to God. It's only through, you know, our trials and tribulations sort of forces us to have a communication with the Lord. And, you know, and like the word says, I mean, Jesus suffered. So we are, you know, we become partners with him in our suffering. And also part of having trials and tribulations also get to see that God gets the glory. You didn't figure it out. God figured it out for you. And he brought you through those trials and tribulations. So it's to give us, I think it also gives us strength, or gives us confidence in knowing that when the next trial and tribulation comes, that we can still put our trust in God, and God will always be there for us, and he will always get us through it.
Amen. When will he not be there for us?
Never. He's always there for us. Nothing can separate us from God. We know that's Romans 8:38.
Okay. Let me read what the message says. It says, glory, the topic is glory just around the corner. Friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a finding process with glory just around the corner. If you're abused because of Christ, count yourself fortunate. It's the Spirit of God and his glory that brought you to the notice of others. If you're on, if they're on you because you broke the law or disturbed it, that's a different matter. But if it's because you're a Christian, don't give it a second thought. Be proud of distinguished status reflected in that name. It's judgment time for God's own family. I'm reading to 19. It's judgment time, God's own family. We're just in line. We're first in line. If it starts with us, think what it's going to be like for those who refuse God's message. Amen. Amen. So we're first in line because we're believers. Amen.
Yeah.
And then part is Hebrews 5:8. I said I would take it, but Evangelist, would you get Hebrews 5:8 and Lady Nadine, James 1:12, Hebrews 5:8.
Can you tell me where we're being from?
We're in chapter 24, section 5, talking about in relation to believers, and we're in the first section, A, Satan the tempter. First paragraph.
Okay.
Hebrews 5 and 8. You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Hebrews 5 and 8 says, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered.
That's it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I have the message, so sometimes I'm given verses 7 through 10, so I didn't know where it ended. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Let me see what it says again. 8, 8, 8. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. And even though he learned everything that he suffered with, it made him, you know, strong where he didn't have to give in to sin or into Satan or anything else because he was already the God and as the Son.
Okay. James 1:12.
It says, God bless those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they will receive a crown of life that God promised to those who love. So, yeah. Well, that's one of the benefits of the test. That would be reading, right?
Mm-hmm. Mine says, go on.
Oh, the one, we do it the one to prove us, right? As far as the test is concerned.
Right. So mine says, anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such persons loyally in love with God, the reward is life and more life. So when we get into situations under pressure, we have to remain faithful. You can't be, you know, wishy-washy and something, the wind blows and it blows you away from God and, you know, God allowed this to happen, so now I'm going to go on my own. Where are you going to go? If you
right.
go on your own, where are you going to go? Amen? So you stick with God because he knows what he's doing. And why did the trials come anyway?
So that we can become stronger.
Amen. To increase our love for God, which is what James 1 and 12 was about, to prove us, which is what 1 Peter was about, and to teach us, Hebrews and the part of 1 Peter. So when I look at part 3, which is to increase our love for God, what does that come, anything come to mind for anybody other than myself? And I'll share mine once you shared whatever, if anything. Nothing comes to mind?
I do think that it definitely increases our love for God when we are going through things. But you're saying something specific in our lives? Is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, when, you know, for me, it's like when I look back and think about all that I have gone through and how God has stood by me every step of the way and got to this point, I can't help but love him. You know, I can't help but love him.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Evangelist, do you have anything to add?
No.
Okay, to me, when I read that, what's that?
No, I said I agree with what Lady Nadine said.
Okay, so what came to mind when I saw part 3, which was to increase our love for God? The pandemic, talking about COVID-19. It came to cause people closer to God. for them. They're praying that it doesn't happen to them. They're praying that if they get it, they'll pull through. They're praying for their families. They're praying for the world. The world will shut down at a certain point. It's still not open 100% again. And with this, what is it, the third round with the Delta variant, it's a situation where it's going to draw people closer to God. So that increases our love for God to go through something this gigantic, a pandemic.
Right.
That's the first thing that came to my mind when I saw that it says, because again, I've had the debate with people as to where it came from. Where did this pandemic come from? Amen. Mm-hmm. They have their own opinions as well as I have mine, but it is what it is. And I'm not going to get into that at but you don't really have time to go into it. But because of COVID-19, a lot of people have drawn closer to God. It's made more people prayerful.
It has. And you're right. And that's good. That's the whole purpose. That's why God sometimes, you know, that's what he wants to get out of our crises, that we come closer to him, realize it's only him that can help us through it. But there are people who have cursed God because of it. You know, why did God let my mom die? And why did God let, you know, family members die? Because, you know, each time, you know, there's going to be tragedies, you know. But you're right. I mean, it can go either way because, you know, they'll either curse God or they're going to come closer to him and realize that he's sovereign.
That's true, but I believe more have drawn closer to him than those that have cursed him. And I was just thinking that people just, they don't understand. We don't understand. Scientists don't understand what's going on. And a lot of people put it on Satan. I just don't believe that it was Satan that caused it because it's drawing us closer to God. And why would Satan do something that would allow us to love, you know, God more? That is confusing to me. So that's why I say what I said. It's to increase our love for God, and that's what it's doing. Amen. And it won't be everybody. That's, as you said, no, some people curse them, but that's them. They'll get it. They'll get it.
Those are the Antichrist who would have did it anyway.
Whoever they are, they don't understand. You know, they don't understand. And it's hard to understand when your loved one is taken away. I mean, I've heard of situations where, you know, the mother dies one day and the husband dies, and that's hard. That's, you know, what's going on? And it's not because they're people. Some of them were in the church. Some of them were pastors and, you know, people in of the clergy.
I don't think that as a punishment. I don't. So yeah, it's not like, you know, some people. It's just that's how I do it.
You understand what you're saying?
Huh?
I said you were breaking up. You said you don't believe it's a punishment.
Yeah, I think God calls us when it's our time.
Oh, that's a statement.
Punishment, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Going in, and we're going to move on, unless you want to say it again.
No, we can move on.
Okay. There are at least three areas in which Satan tempts believers. The first is in the area of conforming to the pressures and structures of society. 1 Thessalonians 3:5. Lady Nadine, would you get that when we're ready for it? Paul, you remember, had been forced to leave Thessalonica after probably only 1 month's ministry in that city. Acts 17:5-10. Evangelist, would you get that? Further, Satan had used some governmental ban to keep him from returning. That's Satan doing that. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. I'm going to ask Evangelist to read that since she's reading the 1 Thessalonians 3:5. So he sent Timothy, who was not under that ban, back to Thessalonica to see if if they had succumbed to Satan's temptations. What temptations? It was too early in the first century for Paul to be referring to official persecution from the Roman Empire. These temptations must have been more of an unofficial, societal, personal nature. Perhaps Satan tempted them to continue to conform to the lifestyles they experienced before they were saved. Also, many of the converts were Gentiles, and Satan may have tempted them with the pride of intellect. All right, anyone want to comment on that before Evangelist starts with 1 Thessalonians 3 and 5, and then Satan intervened at?
Wow. I think that's like really, it does make so much sense, those types of things that Satan tempts us with. I mean, conforming. Yeah, everybody want to be like everybody else, you know, in society. And, you know, you can see how conforming, like when you think about the, you know, when you think about the Nazis. You know, I mean, that was precious because people had to, you know, Nazi. And then, you know, and that itself is all.
Didn't hear all of you're breaking up.
Oh, man. Okay, I don't know what to do about it.
Nazi, what did you?
Is this better?
I think so.
So I was just saying about the conforming to the pressures of society. People do that, you know, and I was showing the example of the Nazis, how people conform to, you know, Hitler and what he claims was, you know, the ideal person, you know, white, blonde eyes, and, you know, and how just by that, how they condemned everyone else. It wasn't just the Jews. I was reading an article. It was like 100 and so blacks.
Mm-hmm.
There were the anybody who was disabled, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was just groups of people who just did not fit what he thought was the criteria.
Right.
You
right.
know, so it's just so interesting how Satan had all hands in that. You could tell. You could tell it was all Satan.
Mm-hmm. Thinking that they were the superior race. They were
mm-hmm.
better than. Amen. Anybody else was worthless. And
right.
I
and just like here in the United States, it's the same thing here, too. Like,
what?
You can find the most poorest, most ignorant, most backward white person who believes that they're better than the most richest black person. It's just so amazing how they've been so brainwashed. You know,
mm-hmm.
these ignorant and these rural white people in these areas. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I saw a video where this man ain't had a pot to piss in, no
mm-hmm.
teeth in his mouth. Talking
okay.
about he would never accept Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
Obama, he was black.
As bad as he did it.
That's why he the way he is.
Yeah.
No
hate.
No nothing.
Hatred. Not a hatred.
Mm-hmm.
Evangelist, 1 Thessalonians 3 and 5, please. And I'm going to ask you to read it from 3 through 5. That's where my separation is.
And to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you are going through, but you know that we are destined for such troubles. Even while we were with you, we warned you that trouble would soon come, and they did, as you know, as you well know. That is why when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work has been useless.
So wow.
He was talking to the Thessalonians, and he was asking, he thought that maybe, you know, Satan had tempted them back into doing evil stuff, and that that's why he sent Timothy to make sure that they do not turn back, you know, to their old ways and to stay strong.
Let me ask you.
In the faith.
Mm-hmm. Why couldn't Paul go himself?
Why couldn't Paul go?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
We just read it.
I would. No. Oh, and to keep.
Nadine, why didn't Paul go?
Paul was in jail, right?
No, he wasn't in jail at that moment, I don't believe.
Oh, okay.
But he was banned.
Was that?
He was banned. From
he's
going
from
to Thessalonica. Yeah, he was banned from going there by the government. And that's what we see a little further. I think I read it. Yeah. Paul, you remember, had been forced to leave Thessalonica after probably only 1 month's ministry in that city. And further, Satan had used some governmental ban to keep him from returning.
So he
was not under that ban. Back to Thessalonica to see if they had
come and that leads to
faith temptation. So would you read Acts 17:5-10?
Which explains his bed. Exactly.
I didn't hear
but you. I said, which actually explains what you just read. Like why he
yeah, that's
go
what I was asking.
Was
exactly. I read it already. Just finish reading.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Acts 17:5-10.
I have it. But other Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. And this is taking place in Thessalonica. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decree, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus."
Mm-hmm.
When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Mm. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. So.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So, what kind of happened in your own words?
Well, you know, these people were like angry because they know Paul was preaching Jesus, and and when he got to Thessalonians, you know, they got really angry that he was there. So they tried to find him to, you know, probably stone him or whatever. But
hush
then they
him.
Know
yeah.
where he was staying because he was staying with Jason and the believers. So they dragged them out. But thanks be to God that the city officials was just like, what the hell is going on? And let them go. Let Jason and the others go. They posted a bond and let them go. You know, and then they were able to warn Paul that he has to leave, you know. So you just see God all in the midst of that.
He was only able to stay there for about a month to minister. he was getting the people riled up. They were worshiping idols. Mm-hmm. And when they came, when he came along talking about Jesus, the people got excited. Like, what? Who? What are you talking about? Some mm-hmm. of them wanted to learn more, and others wanted to throw him out. And so he was banned. He was ultimately banned from Thessalonica. Amen. Mm-hmm. One.
Amen.
So the other part was 1 Thessalonians, evangelist, 2 and 18. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 18.
We want it very much to come to you. And I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I just want to read the message where it says, you can't imagine how much we missed you. I, Paul, tried over and over to get back, but Satan stymied us each time. Who do you think we're going to be proud of when our master Jesus appears, if it's not you? You're our pride and joy, talking to the Thessalonians.
Yeah.
Amen. Because they wanted to hear him, but he was not allowed to come back. Thrown out. All right, so let's continue with the next paragraph where it says, this is after the, where it says, perhaps Satan tempted them to continue to conform to the lifestyles they experienced before they were saved. This is a paragraph that was a part of what talked about the banning. Also, many of the converts were Gentiles, and Satan may have tempted them with the pride of intellect. What could that mean, the pride of intellect? Satan tempted the Gentiles with the pride of intellect.
I guess, you know, them thinking or feeling like they're better, you know, than the other people. They may have thought that they were, you know, smarter and better. I mean, I don't really know, you know, like, how the Gentiles in particular were considered more intelligent. I mean, for them to have the pride of intellect. I you know, like, I don't know. I mean, did they have better education than the Jews? I mean, I don't know what was happening in Thessalonia that they felt that they could have the, even to have the pride of intellect. There must be something, you know, in the history, you know, that that would cause that.
We have to remember at that time we had great philosophers around, I believe Aristotle and Plato and Socrates and all of that. So a lot of them might have that teaching, that understanding, that intellect, that intelligence. And so they came at religion from a, like, a philosophical point of view as opposed to a religious kind of traditional Jewish point of view. Amen. So that's my...
Right. You're absolutely right. Because we're talking about that most of the Gentiles were Greek. And the Greeks
did
pride themselves in,
in
their
learning,
in philosophies and stuff like that.
Intelligence. All right. So I'm not going to sign up for homework, but if you guys want to go into it and find out what it was. But it's not homework. Okay? You're going to go into it. Next paragraph. Second, Satan tempts believers to Satan tempts believers to cover up selfishness. The story of Ananias and Sapphira serves as a classic illustration. You remember that story, right?
Yeah, but where are you reading?
I'm in the next paragraph.
The paragraph.
Huh? I'm on, well, you don't have the pages, but the first paragraph ended with evil. The second paragraph ended with intellect. So I'm on the third paragraph that says, second, Satan tempts believers to cover up selfishness. Do you see that?
Yeah. Okay.
Everybody has that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the story of Ananias and Sapphira serves as a classic illustration. And I was saying, do you guys remember that situation? We're going to talk about it, but do you remember that?
I do. I do remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was when the disciples.
With the disciples, and they were supposed to, when they went to sell the land or the property or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they lied, and they fell dead.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They only wanted to give up a part of it. You take this part. I'm gonna keep this part in my pocket.
But they weren't obligated to sell anything. They could have not sold anything.
Right.
But when they
exactly sold, that was the it. You're right. I mean, that was the
and
point.
And they
it's
came
like,
forth
come,
saying, you know, this is all we earned. Then now they're liars. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't mm-hmm. sell it, somebody sell it. So what? You know. But
right.
they were like. Thing is, too, they came in at separate times. So first the husband,
he died
they drug him out. As the wife came in, she saw them pulling him out, not knowing who it was. All right? So this couple of Ananias and Sapphira serves as a classic illustration. This couple, wanted to retain some of the money they received from the sale of their property, while at the same time receiving praise for their contribution. So Peter discerned that it was Satan who had filled their hearts to lie. Acts 5:1-11. Who wants to get that? Acts 5:1-11. Don't want it right now. They had the right to own and sell property. They had no obligation to give all the proceeds to the church, but they were obliged to feign generosity and at the same time cater to their selfishness by keeping part of the money received. All right? Let's look at Acts 1.
All right. I'll get it because I know Hilda just had mouth surgery.
Volunteered
Thank you
too.
I did.
No, I said I'll do it because I know Hilda. I'm
saying you didn't hear her when she said you would get it.
I volunteered.
Oh, no, I didn't hear her. Oh, I didn't even hear that.
Yes, she volunteered.
Okay, so.
5:11.
Yeah. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife, Sapphira.
Ananias,
together with his wife, Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Did it belong to you before you sold it? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, so she didn't see the body, she didn't come to 3 hours later. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the man who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, he fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who had heard about these events.
Amen. Thank you. So why do you think they died?
Well, just say, you know, I mean, there's a few things. They lied to God. You know, they lied to the Holy Spirit. And the whole, I guess also, too, is like, what are you trying to prove? I mean, you put down money for, they were prideful. You know, that's like, oh, look what I did. Look what I do. I could give, you know, this amount of money. And that feeling, you know, you see people like that church. They want to broadcast how much they gave into the church. I did this and I gave that. You know, when it's Satan had gotten into them. You know, that's what he said. Satan has gotten into you, and they die.
All right. Did you want to say anything?
No, just that, you know, they, like you said, they didn't have to sell the land, but they were the ones who said, okay, we're going to sell the land and give everything to put it at Peter's feet.
The proceeds to the church.
Right.
We're going to get
everything, but they didn't do that. Their sin was they lied to God because they said we would give everything.
Right.
So everything means everything, not part of it.
Right.
And you don't keep nothing back. So they kept portions of it back. And because they, why? Now, it makes me think that they loved it, what the money, more than they loved God.
Well,
yeah.
You know, I don't know if you know the whole story. They were trying to help the community. And so everybody was, you know, getting together and doing their part to kind of lift up the less fortunate in the community. And this is one of the things that they decided to do. If you want to sell, you know, something and give it. But they had to come with all the proceeds we're giving you, you know, making them look so big. And they probably had a lot of money, too. You know, they probably made a lot of money. So it was a good amount of money that they were presenting as an offering. But then why say we're giving you all the proceeds? If they had said a portion, amen, I don't think they
would
have done
right.
It would have been better if they would have said, we'll give you half of what we make or what we get from
it. Or even five, if you don't want to give them direct, you know, knowledge of what you got in your pocket. We'll give you a portion of it.
They were greedy. That's all it was. It was just greed.
They didn't have to give up anything.
It was showing. They were showing off. They wanted to show off.
And lying.
They wanted to show off. And want people to perceive them. People to perceive them.
That's what took them out of here, to lie.
Yes. So that people can perceive them as being, you know, oh, so great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look what they did. They gave all of their property. It was a damn lie.
Sounded good.
Yeah.
God knows. Really knows. Okay, third. Next paragraph. Satan tempts believers to immorality. 1 Corinthians 7:5. Evangelist, if you don't feel like reading, I'm going to ask Lady Nadine to go with that.
Yeah,
would you
go ahead? Cause the more I talk, the more the gall irritates.
God provided marriage for proper expression of physical needs and relationships, and He expects husbands and wives to assume their respective and mutual responsibilities. When this is not done, Satan has opportunity to tempt believers to illicit or perverted sexual sin. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Lady Nadine, 1 Corinthians 7:5, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 7:5. First Corinthians.
Do not defraud one another.
Except perhaps by agreement for a time in order that you may devote yourself to prayer, and then you should be together again, lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to read mine. It starts from 7, 1 through 6.
Mm-hmm.
It says, to be married, to be single, ... Now getting down to the questions you asked in your letter to me. First, is it a good thing to have sexual relations? Certainly, but only within a certain context. It's good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. Sexual drives are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them and provide for a balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. The marriage bed must place of mutuality, the husband seeking to satisfy his wife, the wife seeking to satisfy her husband. Marriage is not a place to stand up for your rights. Marriage is a decision to serve the other, whether in bed or out. Abstaining from sex is permissible for a period of time if you both agree to it, and if it's for the purposes of prayer and fasting, but only for such times. Then come back together again. Satan has an ingenious way of tempting us when we least expect it. I'm not commanding these periods of abstinence, only providing my best counsel if you should choose them. So, any thoughts about that?
I'm glad I read it in this one too, because thank you for reading the whole thing, because actually 7 and 5 is not clear.
Well,
you know, it wasn't clear, just 7 and 5, you know, and what it was related to. So thank you so much for reading the whole chapter, because it makes absolute
mm-hmm.
sense.
The whole paragraph.
You know, mm-hmm. It reminds me of, especially 5. Do you know, I don't know if any of you guys watch The Haves and the Have Nots.
Please.
But there was a scene
now
with the wife. Huh?
It's ended.
Yes, it ended. But the guy, there was a couple, and the wife just refuses for weeks, months on end, refuses to have sex with her husband. And the husband was like begging her for sex. Mm-hmm. And but at the same time, he was being tempted by the first lady. The first lady is black. If you don't know, this is the Oval. No, this is the Oval. Not,
oh, okay.
This is the Oval.
I never saw that part. Okay.
No, right. This is the Oval.
But that's
and
by Tyler Perry too. So
it's a mm-hmm. Tyler Perry too. And the first lady is black, and the mm-hmm. president is white in this thing. And so he's like, this is a black couple. He's like begging his wife for sex. Please, please, please. He loves his wife so much. And she just won't, you know. And he just like, so the first lady who is black, she's like into him. Like she is constantly harassing him for sex and stuff like that. He is constantly refusing her, like, you know, but he has to do it in a certain way because he does security in the White House. So he can't be nasty to her. Well, one day he just couldn't resist, and he mm-hmm. ended up having sex with the first lady.
Mm-hmm.
When she found out, when the wife
one.
Found out, the wife threw him out. How dare you? La, 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 la. Like she's mm-hmm. like in a rampage now. Because of what he did. But that's what this reminds me of.
I hear you. Thank you. I didn't see that particular portion. I didn't see the whole episode, but I saw that. I just happened to tune in. But let me ask you, thank you. Was Paul married?
Paul?
Yeah.
Paul was not married. No.
Okay. So he was advising people to do what I just read and to do what you just read. Amen. That you have to satisfy your wife, and wives, you have to satisfy your husband. And there are certain points where you can abstain from sex, but that's just for a short period of time when you both agree, and then you come back together. So
he
was famous for saying something about burn. If I burn, remember that part? Mine says this, and I know it's not the quote that I'm looking for, but this is the message. Sometimes I wish everyone were single like me. This is verse 7. A simpler life in many ways, but celibacy is not for everyone any more than marriage is. God gives the gift of the single life to some, of the married life to others. I do, though, tell the unmarried and widows that singleness might well be the best thing for them, as it has been for me. But if they can't manage their desires and emotions, they should by all means go ahead and get married. The difficulties of marriage are preferable by far to a sexually tortured life as a single. So I can't remember that quote. That's probably in your Bible.
Here in 9, you're talking about 9, yeah, it says, but if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's better to marry than to burn. So if you feel that you must, you know, have intercourse, then it's better to get, you know, go on and get married. But if you can be celibate, that's good for you too. You know?
Right. As a matter of fact, he's
looking at it
better.
Huh?
He actually thinks that's better if you can.
Yeah, if you can do it. But it's not for everybody. Marriage is not for everybody, and neither is the single life. And they have a thing now that when people are going with one another, their boyfriend and girlfriend, they call themselves, oh, I'm not single. You're not single. What are you? You're not married, so what do you mean you're not single? I don't understand that language.
Right.
I'm not
single
anymore.
They are doing that now.
Yeah,
not single. That's how they identify themselves on Facebook too. Not single or in other places, but they're not married. But they're in a relationship.
Yeah,
they say not single.
Exactly. Yeah, I heard that a while ago. I'm like, you're not single, but you're not married either. So what? I don't understand. But anyway, that's the way.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me see. We finished about the third part, and you read 1 Corinthians 7 and 5. We're going to stop right, okay, because it's after 8 o'clock. And thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming out this evening. And who wants to take us home?
First Lady.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
And she said such a wonderful prayer last week. Please take us home.
Oh, my goodness. Dear God, Lord God, we just love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, for the revelations, Lord God, that we have and how you reveal, you know, this information to us, Lord God. It is just so amazing. It is just so wonderful, Lord God, as we come to know you, Lord God, as we come to know your word more and more, Lord God, and see how your word is applied, Lord God, to our own and everyday lives, Lord God. Lord God, again, I thank you for your vessel, Lord God, and Sister Barbara, Lord God. Lord God, your words, Lord God, comes through her to us, Lord God, in a way that is so crystal clear, and we just thank and praise you for that. Lord God, please put your hand of healing on Hilda, Lord God. Touch her mouth, Lord God, so that her healing would be swift, Lord God, and that she'll be back to her self, Lord God, just her joyous, talking, loving
voice, Lord God, Lord God, and so that you'd be able to eat again. Lord God. So Lord God, we know that you are in total control of everything. And we just thank you, Lord God, that we feel like we're just like, you're just like an umbrella for us, Lord God. We're just under the umbrella of your loving kindness, God. And we thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you for bringing, as we come closer and closer to your love, Lord God. And Lord God, please be with each and every one of us, Lord God, till we meet again, Lord God. I pray that everyone stays safe, Lord God, and that we all, Lord God, just be safe in this coronavirus, Lord God, and we know that you're still in control, Lord God.
And
we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you for that prayer on our behalf. Now, I just want you all to go in grace, go in love, and be covered and protected at this terrible time. Amen. Love you all.
Amen.
Be safe.
Love you too.
God, thank you.
All right, Hilda, keep your mouth.
Feel better.
Yeah, I'm going
feel
to change
better.
The balls now.
Okay. All right. Then. Bye-bye.
Have a blessed
day. Have a good
love
night, ladies. Love you,
you
guys.
Too, man.
I'm not going to play
too.
In the music.
All right. Shalom.